Hi.
Hi. It's just such a timid hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I don't know if you heard the tea.
What tea? I feel like I'm always missing tea. I'm not online as much.
I am too, honestly. I don't seek it out. I used to because of Amivi, who used to have that huge ass list.
I miss her list.
Yep.
She'd be at like 5,002.
I think she stopped. I think she got tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard recently that there was apparently a person who really liked this author's book.
Oh, God.
And left this review on Twitter, like tweeted it at him and was like, I just want you to know that I got your book from the library and it was so good. Like, it was really, really good. Loved it. And then he wrote back.
From the library.
Would have been better if you bought it, though.
I fucking knew that's where this shit was going.
How do you feel about that?
It was a man?
Yes.
I'm not shocked. Fucking bit. I'm just kidding. Oh my God, me fighting with this author.
Oh my God. The tweet is still up.
Okay, who is this author? Do we know him?
What I know about him is that it was a biography that he wrote. So nonfiction. That's all I know.
I can understand an author's frustration to an extent, but I never understand authors who will be passive aggressive to people who are shouting them out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, it costs this girl nothing to just be like, hey, loved your book.
Yep.
I'm sure many other people saw this. And other people seeing this could have been like, hey, I'm interested. Why did he have to react this way? She fucking read your book. Be grateful.
Mm-hmm. And just this whole library thing. Mm-hmm. Like, people aren't made of money.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could buy the books that I've read.
Yeah.
But it really is going on like Libby and Hoopla and like using
Audible
resources.
Spotify.
To borrow audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so impossible to buy all of these books. They're so expensive.
Everand.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes when I read an ebook, I go and purchase it if I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, if you really like it, or I don't know, maybe if you want someone else to read it, sometimes it's easier to just like let them borrow it, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's hard. Books are expensive. There's no way you're going to be able to buy every book you love or enjoy. I mean, I think it's just so sad because I'm sure this girl was so excited to reach out to this author and be like, hey, loved your work. Mm-hmm. And for this author to just be passive aggressive, that must have been so disheartening. Like, I can't even imagine being in her position. You know what I mean? Like, in her position, I feel like that would destroy me, honestly.
Especially like if you reached out to an author you really liked and they did that to you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Or, I mean, sometimes I feel like because some people are so accessible to us because of social media, sometimes I think like, oh, we could be friends, potentially, maybe. And for someone to react in such a way that's so aggressive, it's so off-putting. And it just makes me feel sad for the girl.
Yeah, I feel bad for her too.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with getting books from the library.
Mm-hmm.
Literally a resource for people. A resource that isn't used as much as it used to be used. So like, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with that.
Is it not used as much? I feel like more people are reading now.
Dude, I don't know if you've been to our library, but
it was packed when I went.
When you walk in, have you noticed that they have a bookshelf with people who pre-check out books?
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
That is really sweet.
Anytime I go, it's empty.
The shelf?
No, anytime I go to the library, it's empty.
Oh, really?
The only people I see there are like college students.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, today we are going to talk about a little zinger. Just a little one.
A zinger.
A zinger.
A zombie zinger.
And I wanted to ask you, do you think a book about the undead can fix your life?
Can give me a purpose, a new meaning? Yes, of course.
Welcome to the Book Fix Podcast, a podcast where we fix lives one book at a time. I'm your host, Chelly.
And I'm your host, Jehida.
And today we are going to be talking about
a novella titled Elegy for the Undead, written by Matthew Vesely.
So you and I have this shared collections, the shared archive on Instagram where we just send each other book recs.
Yeah.
And this one was from, it was like unsettling books that are quick to read.
I thought it said something like sad books.
Was it?
Something about sad books. I think maybe. I'm not sure.
Even remember what the summary to this one was.
We have so many on there, so I know. It's hard to keep track.
But I do remember that seeing this cover and me going like, damn, I would eat this up. So going into this, I remembered very little and didn't know this was going to be a zombie book. This is our first zombie book. Zombies are so popular on the media. Yeah.
Oh my God. Our first zombie book?
Yes.
No fucking way.
Yeah, it is. Me, a huge fan of The Walking Dead. Only one zombie book in?
Embarrassing. Why haven't you been recommending more zombie books?
I don't know.
Let's start off by saying that this book is broken up into different timelines. So the timeline where our couple first meets when they're younger. The timeline where it happens after the virus outbreak and then during the virus outbreak.
But the way it breaks it up, it only says like 1 month after, 6 months prior, 2 minutes after. Like,
no, for real.
It breaks it up in a weird way. So the number just keeps getting close to whatever that moment is. And we still don't know what that moment is. So to paint a picture, our two main characters are two high school students first.
Yeah, so it's Jude and Lyle, and they meet when they're in high school. But I kind of got the sense that Lyle knew more about Jude than Jude knew about Lyle.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were aware of each other, but they meet at like, or they hang out at the Drain, which is like a spot, I guess. And Lyle is there smoking and Jude shows up and they kind of start talking about random shit while they're smoking. And Lyle says, hey, are you still dating that girl, Julie? And I thought it was funny that he was like, Jude and Julie. What an interesting like couple name, right? Because it's so similar. Jude basically tells him that no, because she didn't like that he would smoke. And Lyle mentions that he was dating some boy named Danny Bridges, but not really though. Like, he was dating him, but not really, because Danny didn't want, I guess, to be outed, or didn't want it to be known that they were together because they're two guys. And Danny threatened to punch Lyle because Lyle would tell people that they had hooked up. And Jude is just kind of just like listening to this. And yeah, this was like a very brief moment between them. Nothing really came of it after this exact moment. And it's not until they're in a Christian college when they reconnect again.
Yes. And I don't know if you would say the same thing, but Lyle's kind of like cynical.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he is.
And so him going into this college, he's like, it's the only one that accepted me. I don't even really want to go to college.
But like, it's fine. I'm here.
I'm an English major. What's going to come out of that?
There's like, really nothing that I can do with it anyway. So it's probably pointless that I'm here.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
And like you said, he reconnects with Jude. And both of them, every time they reconnect, they're always like after a breakup.
Yeah, it's just the timing is always weird. But they reconnect. And I think the way that it first happens, didn't Jude just kind of like not have a ride?
Yeah.
And then Lyle was like, oh, it's fine. I mean, I can just take you home. It's no big deal. And so that's kind of how it started. He would give him rides every day after school. And then it just kind of became like the norm for them. And then at first, Jude was really like, oh, I don't know. Like, I mean, are you sure it's okay? I mean, you don't have to give me a ride. And it was like, no, no, it's fine.
And then it became, he's already in the car.
He's just running in.
So, yeah, it started off like that. I noticed that you marked the part where they said that they would talk about Kingdom Hearts, and he just wrote Jelly.
Oh, it's because I think it was Jude, right? That would talk about Kingdom Hearts. And he was like perplexed by it. He was like, I don't get the point of Kingdom Hearts. Like, not the point, but like the plot of it. And I just put OMG Chelly, because I know you had a phase where you were obsessed with Kingdom Hearts.
But also hated it.
Yeah.
But loved
it. Yeah, I can remember that. That you hated it, but you were just like continuing it.
Yep.
It was like a thing. And so I just thought that was so fucking funny.
But they... they're both very close to each other. And I think it's in Lyle's perspective where he writes, like, it soon became we were each other's person that we would hang out with. Mm-hmm. And other people, we wouldn't seek them out anymore. We would seek each other out. And he was, like, the most important person in my life.
Yeah.
So I think it's Jude who makes the first move.
Yeah, he does. And it just kind of happened, like, naturally. Like, they just kissed and they were together. But I want to talk about this in order of events, though.
Okay.
Because the way that the book goes, remember, it skips a lot. It'll go back and forth. Yeah.
Go ahead. Go in order.
So they're together now. And I don't remember exactly how this happened. But I do remember that they were about like 19 at this point. And I think they were still going to school. But I believe Jude got like a job.
Internship.
Oh, yes, an intern. Yes, because he was like, what's the point of an internship? So he got an internship. So they were really disconnected. And I think they might have made a comment at this point where Lyle's sex drive was like way higher than Jude's. Jude was kind of just like chill with maybe like once a week. Like, that's cool for him, you know? Mm-hmm. And Lyle was more like, no, like every day, every other day kind of thing. And so they were feeling disconnected from each other. Well, more so Lyle from Jude. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't really see each other much. And then he noticed this other student at his class.
In his creative writing class.
Of course, where everything goes down. And he was just kind of like, oh, I can't stand Jacob. He's so pretentious. He thinks he's so smart. Every time he writes about something, it's always involving sex, somebody having sex. And he critiqued his writing in front of the class, like you do in a creative writing class. Mm-hmm. And Jacob was kind of like, I mean, yeah, what about it? Kind of thing, right? And so they agree. I don't know why, because I don't get it. In a creative writing class, you don't really need to work in partners. It's your own fucking thing.
Yeah.
But they agree that they would hang out after class, share their creative works, critique it, and so on.
And can I say something? Mm-hmm. That first moment where he like tells off Jacob in the class, mm-hmm. and he's sitting with his friend Carly, and Lyle says he's kind of hot when you get him angry.
Mm-hmm.
And she slapped my leg beneath the table. You have a boyfriend. And he just shrugged.
He's kind of like, yeah, and what about it?
Ugh.
That I was scared. I was like, oof. Hell oof, no. This is getting dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so they hang out. And I forgot who went to whose house. But they hung out at somebody's house. And they basically just hooked up. And it kind of just...
drunk and they hooked up.
Yeah, it kind of just happened, though. But, I mean, he was aware of what was happening.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, yep, and I slept with him, and he left. Oh, I think it was at Lyle's place then, because the next day he was nauseous. He showered. He was still nauseous because he was smelling Jacob all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And he texted Jude and was like, hey, we need to talk, which nobody wants to fucking hear those words.
And Jude kind of knew.
I don't think he knew. I think he knew that they were feeling a little disconnected, but I don't think he expected that, because I do remember that when they met up, Lyle told him, hey, so this guy, my class, we hooked up. Sorry. And Jude mentions, well, it's one thing if you wanted to be in a polyamorous relationship, but we were not in a polyamorous relationship, so you betrayed me. And he was basically said that he was really hurt and he didn't want to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember that Lyle was, even before this moment, he was kind of already thinking to himself, I don't know if I love Jude.
Yes.
You know, like, it's kind of like, I'm comfortable around him. Mm-hmm. We've been together long enough where it's kind of like his person. But, you know, then they were kind of separated for a while because of the internship and school. So he was kind of just like, I'm not sure. And then it took hurting him for him to be like, damn, I don't want to hurt him.
I can't believe I chose sex over love.
That's so crazy, because why would I ever do that?
And he chose to be like, he basically did not talk to Jude for a very long time.
I think it was like a month. Well, he didn't talk to him because Jude didn't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
And I think, but remember, he was like sad about it. He was like, damn, I really miss him. Mm-hmm. And he goes to this, like, I don't remember what it was.
It was a cafe.
Was it? Okay. He goes to a cafe that he knows that they would go to. And Jude is there. And he just like goes up to him and he's like,
I need to talk to you.
He said, can we talk? And Jude is like, I don't really want to be honest. And he says, I messed up. I do want to be with you. And Jude says, well, you have a really weird way of showing it. And so Lyle tells him, they were feelings I couldn't figure out. That's why I never told you about them. How could I tell anyone when the only way I had interpreted them was I want to sleep with someone else? Maybe I could have interpreted it as not feeling satisfied with something about us and then figured things out with you. But I guess I'm just not that mature. I'm rash. That's why I did what I did. I didn't want to hurt you, but I did. Now that I think about it, maybe I did want to hurt you and I didn't realize it, and that was wrong of me. And now that I have hurt you, he begins to cry, I've really fucked up everything. I'm just sad and regret it and never want to or will ever do it again. And I think at this point, Jude tells him, I do love you, but to be honest, I've hated you for what you did. I miss you, but every time I think about you, I just remember that you lied to me and I can't deal with that anymore. And Lyle kind of has this like self-reflection afterwards because they go their separate ways. And he's like, I didn't feel frozen anymore. I felt like the ice was melting, like I could think again, like I could actually consider what I had chosen in the moment with Jacob. I had not chosen passion. I had chosen sex. Sex with Jacob. Sex with whomever could have come after. Sex the way I wanted it all the time, on my terms, in my time. I chose that even without knowing it. I chose that over Jude. And I think they didn't talk to each other for like a week or two.
But then they tried again.
Mm-hmm, because Jude told him that he still loves him.
How did you feel about Lyle?
I fucking hated Lyle. Because, really? Yeah, I did. Because he was like, because then this one part, he was like, consciously, quietly, and personally, I chose love. Oh, this is when they made up.
Yeah.
To consciously choose love, I feel, is the strongest declaration of your desire you can make. I consciously chose love over the fun of new crushes, over complete independence and the freedom to fly, then crash and burn and cry because I didn't have someone to share my life with. I've discovered over my years in this world, first without a partner, then with a bad partner, and finally with a love that stuck around, that the last of the three is preferable, all things considered, weighing momentary pleasures, long-lasting partnership, and the ability to communicate with the right person. I chose to find a balance. I just felt like, why is this bitch making himself the victim? Like, you cheated on him and now you want me to feel bad for you?
But he said, he did say, I'm not saying I agree with what he did or that
it's
I like
it's starting
him.
To feel like you're a cheating apologist. No, it's fine.
But he did say, like, because from what I'm guessing, this is a shared journal that him and Jude wrote.
I think so, yeah.
He said, like, what I'm about to say, I don't want you to think, I don't want to justify it. If this is just how it happened.
And but my thing, I don't think you really love someone if you cheat on them. And I don't think he actually loved him. I think maybe eventually he just got comfortable with him.
Damn.
And there's another thing that he said near the end that I really confirms that I don't think he actually loved him.
Damn. I just feel very strongly about Lyle. After that zombie fucking apocalypse happens. But
I feel like, okay, because I feel like when I was first reading this, to me, it started to feel like, oh, is this an allegory for DV? Like, is that what this is? And then I was thinking, no, is it an allegory for like being with someone with like an illness that's going to eventually lead to death. Like, is that, you, like I was trying to think like, oh my God, like this is really sad. And don't get me wrong. I was really sad reading this book in very like specific parts, especially when it gets like really, really
sad
and violent and aggressive. And I don't know, like there was just parts where I was like, damn, this is so much to deal with. And if you love someone, you're going to deal with it because you love them and you want to be there for them.
Yep.
But I just could have done without the cheating.
Do you think it would have been different if the other partner would have been the one that was bit?
I think it would have been sadder. Yeah. I don't know if I should say this now, but I thought this book was going to be sadder than what it was.
I thought this book, because it was the elegy for the undead, I thought it was going to be about someone's child. Mm. That's what I thought this book was going to be. So I was waiting for a kid to pop up. Never did.
Why, though?
I don't know.
Isn't an elegy just like a poem?
It's, yeah, something written for someone who has passed away, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, like, so the child is a surviving one?
I thought it was going to be parents writing to their child. That's what I thought this was.
Mm.
I guess I got it confused with another one we had on our list, but
it was the second one I wanted to read. But it's fine.
If I were to put myself in Jude's shoes, I would not have forgiven Lyle.
Me neither.
But because he did, and this is the life they chose, because even after they got together, it wasn't the same for a long time.
No, it wasn't. Like, they even said that they never said I love you until I believe their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that was years after.
I didn't even think about
which
that.
Is so sad.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying like, okay, I'm not saying that you can't forgive someone who cheated on you, but personally I would not recommend that.
Yeah.
Because like, if you do it once and you forgive them, they're probably going to think they're going to forgive me again. Because
what that reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of that one Reddit story.
Which one? There's many.
This guy who had a wife and she was really, really good to him. Mm. They just had a really loving relationship.
Oh, God. I think I know where this is going.
And he hated how complacent the relationship was. Okay. Like, it just felt like it was going nowhere. So he ended up kind of flirting with someone at work, and he would push it every like once in a while, like see how far he could get.
Oh fuck.
Until him and this coworker ended up having sex. And he immediately regretted it and went to his wife and was like, I just want to let you know that I had sex with one of my coworkers, and I just, you know, I love you. I regret it and I'm sorry. And he basically wrote, because I'm guessing the person who wrote this is the person who went through this.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically wrote, like, and then all of the light that she ever had in her eyes, like, our whole marriage was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was okay, but it was never the same again. And they stayed together for the sake of, like, I think they had a child, or there was a child on the way.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only reason they stayed together, but their love was never the same.
I thought that's really, really sad. Yeah. First of all, I thought you were going to mention the Reddit story about the girl who, again, but I think she had an apartment with this guy and they were together for a very long time, lived together for a long time. She goes home early, sees this guy is cheating on her. She just grabs her keys, leaves, never sees him again.
Damn.
Never turns back. I thought that's what you were going to bring up.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Like, I just feel like it's so sad.
It is really sad.
I do think that maybe this book was trying to discuss like the mistakes that people make, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, not to connect it to The Walking Dead.
I haven't seen The Walking Dead, so.
But even the characters, because they always, in the first few seasons, they would flash back to life before.
Before the zombie apocalypse. Before
the zombie apocalypse. And the characters weren't perfect.
Yeah, but does your imperfection have to have cheating?
Some of them did. And it's kind of like, to me, there was a lot of time in between that where he could have just broken it off.
Mm.
But
mm-hmm.
He didn't. I think I know the line you hate at the end. So when you're about to say it, please let me know because I want to say it.
No, I want to say it.
To see if I got it right.
I told my coworker about it too, and she was like, it was so fucking funny, because if you have never watched us before, which is like crazy, please watch our other videos. I usually tell my coworker, who reads sometimes but not as much as we do, mm-hmm. I usually tell her when I read something that's just like
it's crazy
or just like, I don't know, like I think it's interesting enough for her to listen to it. I sit her down and I'm like, let me just tell you everything. When I was telling her about this book, there were so many moments where she was just covering her mouth like in shock, like, oh my god, I can't.
She sounds so funny.
I can't believe this. She's amazing.
So where did we stop? So the whole cheating thing happens. They end up together again. Mm-hmm. And then eventually years later, they get married.
Jude proposes. Which I was shocked that it was Jude.
But Jude loved Lyle a lot.
Yeah. More than Lyle loved him.
That's crazy to me. Oh my god. You're putting it in a perspective that I didn't see this book in, and that makes sense.
I don't. Okay. You know what? We'll talk about it later.
Okay, it's fine.
Okay, so yes, they get married, and again, remember, it jumps a lot, so I think we'll save the wedding scene. Okay. So then this virus breaks out, which is called Anna.
And this virus broke out in another country.
It was like Brazil.
It was very COVID-like.
It was. I was like, damn, because people didn't take it seriously because they were thinking like, oh, it's so far away. Like, mm-hmm. What's going to, like, we're fine. It's so far away. It's okay. So Anna stands for absolute necrotic arrest, which once people are infected with this virus, they become very violent, very aggressive. It's just completely out of character for them. So again, zombie-like. Like, they don't call it zombies, but
their parts of their body inflame and burst, and then they die, and then they become reanimated, mm-hmm. and then are zombie-like.
Yes.
They call them the bloodied ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our two main characters, who are already married and have been married for, I think, a year, mm-hmm. they are now living in Philadelphia, and they have like neighbor friends who come over and whatever. Yeah. So they're listening to news reports happening about this virus that's, you know, having an outbreak in like a different country. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty quickly when it arrives to the States.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because they basically witness like their friends like pass away.
Horrible deaths. They even witnessed one friend who loses their significant other, gets bitten by them, and then ends up shooting themselves.
And there, I remember them saying, like, thank god it wasn't Jude or Lyle or whoever yeah. said it. I was like, damn, that's so sad.
It is really sad. And it's crazy to me because I thought the rest of this book was just going to be the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it happened and then it wasn't anymore.
Yeah, so again, even though we've said zombies, the zombies is a really short portion of this book.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was crazy that, so the zombie part mm-hmm. was contained enough that people would just live like regular lives.
Yeah.
Even though people were dealing with this crazy virus, which I mean.
Which, and it was straight up like a zombie movie. Like they had guns, they were killing.
Yeah, surviving, running away.
But towns are fine.
They had a camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
They crash into two people that are like leading a camp. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the girl's name, but the guy's name was
Kenyon. I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So they crash into them, and they're just like, "Yeah, this is our group. I'm past military. Like, I'm here mm-hmm. to help. My sister's a nurse, and mm-hmm. So they live at this camp for a while. But I don't remember how it plays out. Like, there was someone that comes to the camp with a son, right?
So what ended up happening is they were, for the most part, they were very thorough on who they allowed into the camp. Because they would check. They would be like, let me see your whole body because I need to make sure you're not bit. Yeah. So one of the people there would do drugs. And I believe he would do drugs by needle. Mm-hmm. And that's how the drug was brought into the camp, because he caught the virus Damn. Through his drug use, and there was an outbreak in this camp, and people were just like, how the fuck did this happen? And they're like, oops, sorry, I didn't consider that, I guess. Yep. And then that's when Lyle gets bitten, right?
Yeah. Which is, well, crazy. It's a whole ass mess because Kian's Kenyon. Kenyon's sister dies first. And Kenyon is so like, we need to fucking get out of here. It's getting crazy. And out of like panic, grabs Jude because Lyle's fallen.
Yeah.
And escapes with Jude and just starts driving. And Jude's like, you need to go back. Lyle's still alive. I know Lyle's alive. And finally talks some sense into him. Like, Lyle's going to be at the drain. He would meet me at the drain. I know he would meet me there. And when he gets there, it was the person Lyle was with. That was the guy who did the drugs, right?
I don't remember his name.
Luke?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I remember he has like a whole talk with his dead son.
Yeah, he does, which was really sad.
He's like, you know your son's not there, right?
He's like, yeah.
And gosh, because he was already...
His name is Keenan?
Keenan. There we go. But when they finally get to Lyle, he says that he's bit. And I don't remember who shows up. Like, help shows up.
It's like the...
paramedics.
It's like this medicine... Okay, somebody... State troopers? Federal? I don't remember who finds him. Somebody finds him. But
they basically say, like, it's your lucky day.
Yeah, basically, because he gets taken to a treatment center because there was, like, this vaccine that was, like, in the works, right? But it wasn't, like, perfected or anything, but it was, like, good enough. So they inject him, and basically what happened was his disease
slowed
down. It wasn't cured, but it was slowed down.
And these medical people tell Jude at one point, like, it's hard being the ones to have to tell families. You only have a limited amount of time with your loved ones. But it is what it is. And now it has become Jude and Lyle having a limited amount of time together. Yeah. And it sucks because it's not the same. No. Lyle gets these very violent, angry spells.
But again, it's gradual. So that's why I thought it was an allegory for DV. Because it was like small things would tick off Lyle. Yeah. Like he would be, I don't remember the first thing. But I think he would just like look visibly angry. And then he would talk back. Yeah. And then he'd be like, oh, sorry. Like back up, you know? And what was the first thing that happens? Oh, he punched the shower wall.
Because he wanted to take a shower.
Yeah, he was like, are you almost done? And he punched the shower wall. After that, he apologized. He was like, I don't know why I did that. Mm-hmm. And Jude was just like, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. You know, because he wanted to be there for him because he still loved him. And it was just like a gradual thing that... I felt really bad for Jude because it was like he was walking on eggshells because he would always have to pay attention to Lyle's tone of voice. And that's how he would dictate whether or not he was really there or the husk of his husband, which was what he would describe this like virus of that he had.
It wasn't until one specific violent, angry spell where Lyle got a knife and chased Jude around the house. Right? Where he was like, you gotta go somewhere else. Like, you can't live here.
Wasn't it? Yes, he did do that. But wasn't it that he grabbed a boiling hot pan of water and tossed it at him? But Jude ducked, managed to escape like most of the boiling hot water, but some of it did get on his arm. And then I think that's when he chased him with the knife.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if he cut him, but I do remember his leg was injured. So I don't know if he cut him because I also remember that he was like throwing shit everywhere. Like vases were flying. Yep. He was like destroying the house. And I do remember that Jude's arm was injured and his leg was injured.
And when Lyle came to, he was just like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. He would apologize. And he, at this point he was like, no, I can't be around you because I can't be the reason why something happens to you.
Mm-hmm. So he ends up going to a treatment center and it's really just like a, It feels like a senior home.
Yeah, it's just like a nursing home.
Yeah, so they send Lyle here, and he's a very known person at this home because he's the only one who still has ANA.
Mm-hmm.
And they've prepared. Like, if he dies and he turns, they got this whole place on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will make sure nothing happens.
Yeah, and I don't think he... I mean, he has a lot of rules. Like, he's not allowed to open the windows or anything. He can only have visitors on certain days.
Yep.
But yeah,
I wanted to mention a part where that you marked.
I don't remember what I marked.
The part where Jude said we had to be careful during sex, just like we should be all the time, especially within our community. And then you wrote, this feels out of place because they haven't been monogamous for years at this point.
And I said, but haven't they been monogamous for years at this point?
I don't get it. I thought they were like, we have to be careful because we don't want the disease to spread.
No, read it again.
We had to be careful during sex, just like we should be all the time, especially within our community.
He's saying that because they're in a gay relationship.
That's the first time they've ever said that, though.
No, I know, but at this point, they're already married.
Yeah.
So I was confused because I was like, it feels out of place because, okay, I get what he's trying to say, obviously, but... It feels out of place because why would you say this if you've been married and you've been in a monogamous relationship for a very long time?
But even he says afterwards, like, I don't think the danger ever left Lyle's mind because it certainly never left his eyes. It wasn't a huge danger. The doctor told us we would be fine if we were safe and took it slow. I just thought it was kind of like they don't want the disease to spread.
No, I know, but him saying, especially within our community, like their community. That's why I felt like it was out of place because, yeah, the sentence afterwards, it makes it sound like that he's only talking about the zombie virus. Because especially with our community, what do you take from that? Are they having sex with everyone in this community?
Yeah, I know. I get what you mean. And I'm trying to think if it's trying to talk about, remember when HIV?
Yeah,
first
when there
started,
was an epidemic.
Yeah, and people were just very like, it's the gays.
Yeah, and I understand that. But he's making it sound like they haven't been in a monogamous relationship for years, which they have been because at this point they're married and no other person has been involved in their relationship like that. But then he's like talking about the virus only after that. So that's why I was like, this feels out of place. Like, I understand you wanting to mention that. But then again, like maybe he would have been like, oh, because, you know, HIV is on the rise or something. I don't know. Like something like that. Then I would get it more.
Yeah. Okay. I get what you mean. They don't have sex anymore. Of course.
I think because Lyle is just like,
he's over it.
He's over it. He's scared. He doesn't want to even risk it.
And he also just has no power or like strength to do anything. He sits in the bed.
I feel like it's so sad because he was the one who was more sexually driven.
Yeah, and he was so out there as well. Like, it even mentions that he used to love to write and would get so lost in it and now doesn't write at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, they only see each other every Saturday except the first Saturday of the month.
When he's in the treatment center.
Yes. Mm. And so there is a point, it's the first Saturday of the month, and Jude is looking through his Facebook as a boy do and sees that he gets a message from Keenan and is like, hey, haven't talked to you.
Miss
since
you,
that
friend.
Shit, we all went through, am I right? Mm-hmm. We should meet up. And so they do. And right before they meet up, Jude has a moment where he's at the gym and he's like checking himself out. And then is like, damn, I remember when Lyle used to be really into this body. Yeah. And then gets like super turned on.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me so sad.
I feel like this whole situation is just depressing because you have to think about couples who, like, one of them is sick and the other one isn't. Obviously, God, I don't even want to think about this because it's so sad. But like if one can't do anything, it's not like you don't have any desires ever, you know? I don't know. This is just really sad.
It is a sad thing because it's very in sickness and in health. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be there for this person. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if Lyle mentions it or if I read it in another book. But, like, no, it was this book. When Lyle was like, it's hard to be the person who's going to leave my loved ones behind.
Yeah, because he says... death is scary, but the scariest thing is not knowing what's going to happen to Jude once he's gone, mm-hmm. which I thought was really sad. Like, that part actually did get to me because I felt so bad for him that he, you know, was sick and wasn't able to be there for his husband.
So after us knowing that Jude is having, like, sexual depravity, mm-hmm. he goes to hang out with Kenan. Mm-hmm. And in their hangout, Jude is just overcome with a lot of emotions, mm-hmm. and Kenan is really nice to him, and he compliments his body, and gets Jude gets butterflies because it's like, I haven't had a nice compliment mm-hmm. in a really long time.
Yeah,
and so he kisses Kenan, mm-hmm. and Kenan reciprocates it, and Jude is like, nope. Mm-mm.
He feels immediately guilty, backs away, and I think he immediately tells Lyle about it.
Yeah, he does. And Lyle,
he's kind of like chill about it. He's like, no, it's fine. Actually, you know what? I want you to date him.
Yep.
Because I was actually worried about, like, the idea of leaving you behind once this disease, you know, because they know eventually he's going to completely turn. So that was something that he would worry about. And he told him, like, no, it's fine. I want you to date him.
And it was they fought about it a lot. But when they finally agreed that Jude would try, mm-hmm. Lyle was like, you need to do a favor. Like, you need to do a favor for me, a big favor.
Keep dating him.
Mm-hmm. And anytime you come to visit me now, you have to carry a gun with you.
Yeah,
because don't tell me where it's at, but mm-hmm. you need to carry one.
Because he felt like...
it was happening soon.
Yeah.
And so... Jude and Kenan do keep seeing each other, and it's so hard because anytime he sees Lyle, he's like, have you and Kenan done it yet? How's it going?
That was so fucking weird.
It was, but I kind of understand where Lyle's coming from.
I do too. I think, but
he,
like,
just needs it for peace. Mm-hmm. Like, he just needs to know, okay, at least Jude has someone.
I get it too, but it was like, damn, are you gonna ask me how I'm doing, how I'm feeling, how my day went?
I don't even think he's like,
are y'all fucking? Instead of like, hello?
I don't think Lyle had any emotional understandings.
No, I didn't either. I mean, I get his perspective too. Like, that must be really scary. And honestly, like, I'm gonna be honest with you. After reading this, I was spiraling. I was like starting to think about all the shit that can go wrong in my life, in my relationship. And I was like, this is so fucking sad. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was really triggered after I read this book.
Yeah.
I do want to say, I think I know what part you hated and what part shows that Lyle didn't love Jude as much as he kind of put off. Mm. Was it the part where he mentions Danny Bridges again? And he's
Danny,
like,
Bridges, the man he didn't even actually Danny fucking date?
Danny fucking Bridges?
I just want to preface this. He didn't actually date him. Yep. That's the part that pisses me off. Go ahead. If you want to read it, go ahead. Please.
Okay. I'm a little scared. Do you remember Danny Bridges?
Wait, but you have to preface this. Why is he bringing this up?
Because Lyle had asked Jude, have you and Kenan had sex yet? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, why are you asking? I just want to know if you've had sex yet.
Because
no, we didn't. We haven't done anything.
Jude was really conflicted. He was like, I made a vow to you. I don't want to date somebody else. And Lyle was like, well, I mean, you should.
And,
honestly.
And Jude thinks to himself, like, I've already had this talk with Kenan. I'm not going to have sex with him until Lyle's passing. Mm-hmm. And also, Jude has a moment where he's just kind of like, I don't even think I'm going to be that sad when Lyle passes away because I've been mourning it.
Yeah, which I get. It's so sad. It's so sad.
But that's what it's like having, like, someone who's sick in your life. It's really hard. Yep. So then Lyle brings up Danny Bridges because Lyle tells Jude, I think you can love Kenan and still love me. And he says, why do you think that? Mm-hmm. It's like, because Danny Bridges. Mm-hmm. I never stopped loving him. Maybe not the same way I love you, but there was potential. I could be wrong, but I think love is on a different level than friendship. Once you start loving someone, you can't go back to that friend level, but you can love someone in different amounts. The same as friendships. I'm not afraid you'll ever stop loving me, and I don't think you should be afraid either. Would it have been different for you if he had brought up like someone else?
No, I don't think you can love two people at the same time. Him saying, because I don't honestly I'm drunk, so I don't know if he said in this part or in another part, he fucking tells him, I mean, the door was kind of always open for Danny. So does that mean Danny could have showed up at any moment and been like,
he would have been like, yeah,
you know what? This is my one true love. Sorry, Jude. I'm so sorry.
But you could also argue that Lyle's just trying to get him to be like, go.
He could have said that, but why did he have to bring up Danny Bridges, the guy who almost punched you, mm-hmm. for you guys saying hooking that up?
Blowjob.
Yeah. I just wish this was a little bit stronger. Maybe if it was someone else.
But I think it also, I don't know if you've ever played The Last of Us, but
I've seen it.
But you know how in the game you can find like pieces of papers of journal entries of people who have lived in before or during this apocalyptic place? Mm-hmm. Not all of the papers, but several of the papers connect. And you can see the story of like people who used to live there that would like, they were each other's family, but everything fell apart and everyone died. Mm-hmm. And I just think that in moments like this, it's just, even though they weren't a perfect person, what's the point in tearing it apart when this person's about to die? You know? And I don't know. It's just, it feels so wrong to me personally to like tear apart Lyle because of this.
I'm a tear him apart.
I can't. I feel for him.
But he wasn't even that good of a person from the beginning. So,
but I mean, is anyone?
So you think cheating is okay?
If I were in Jude's shoes, I would not have been back with him after that. But because he had made that decision, that's on him.
Yeah.
I would have been the friend trying to talk him out of it.
At the wedding. Like, please don't do this.
And the whole fact that they didn't say I love you until the wedding is an ick. Uh-huh. But that being said,
because I feel like you should resolve that way before the wedding.
I think this traumatic zombie-like experience that they had, that all of a sudden people kind of joke about, don't talk about anymore, treat like it's just kind of like a whatever thing. And they're the only two living it at this moment. It's just kind of like, damn, we've been through so much shit together. Like, I can't possibly leave him. And I felt understanding for like that guilt that Jude had. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get why Lyle's like, you do you.
But I feel like he means it, though.
The Danny Bridges part?
I feel like he actually means that.
He's also like,
not all the way there.
No, he's also like poetry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm not like that.
No, you're not. But not all English majors are. There are English majors, and then there are people like Lyle and Jacob. So... But I think
you're very sweet for not wanting to tear apart someone who's on the brink of death.
I don't want to, but I get where you're coming from too, and that's why it's hard for me, because I just think that some people can have flaws, but it doesn't make them a fully bad person. He did a horrible thing.
Yeah.
But, and then anything that he did, it's kind of funny to me that your angry at a thing that he did before he got this virus.
But, like, he's still in this virus, and he's still thinking like this. So I'm kind of like, eh, men don't change.
These you wrote
men,
that.
These men don't fucking change. I did. I put all men do is lie. I forgot where.
Hello?
I forgot where I wrote that, but.
He lied to him about, you wrote that for the Jacob part. Where he was just kind of like, no.
Oh, because he was saying something and then he was thinking something else. So I was like, eh, yeah, whatever.
All men do is lie. But he passes away as soon as Jude. Well,
to explain how, don't just say that. I can say it if you want me to, if it makes you too sad. So basically, Jude opens the window. I think that they already kind of knew that it was happening soon. And again, Jude would always carry his gun just in case. And he was visiting him, I think, on a day where he wasn't even supposed to visit him, but whatever.
Yeah.
And he broke a rule because Lyle was like, I really want that flower outside the window. Can you get it for me, please? And so he turns, opens the window, grabs the flower, closes the window. And when he turns to look at Lyle, he's not really looking at him anymore, and he can tell that's not my husband. And he takes out the gun because he fully turned at this point. And
no, it took an hour.
Oh, they were looking at each other, right?
No, well, Lyle had turned away, and then he went over and looked at Lyle, and his eyes were like not there anymore. And so he sat down and watched his husband for an hour and saw him slowly reanimate again. And then when the gurgling started and he saw him fighting against the restraints, mm-hmm. he shot him.
Yeah. And that's how that chapter ends. But the final chapter is their wedding day.
1 year prior.
Mm-hmm.
Had leaned on his shoulder and told him he loved him for the first time since we got back together. And it ends with, that's the thing about love. It's messy. It builds you and breaks you and makes you question everything about yourself. But you never hold any of that against your partner. You don't push it onto them as a problem. You ask yourself how you're going to change, if you want to change, to be a better you, to have a relationship, a better relationship, to love and be loved in the way you want. And then Jude leans over and says, I promise I'll always love you as much as, if not more than I do now. Dude, this shit makes me so sad.
Yeah. She's screaming into the mic. In case you can't hear the scream. It was a very silent scream.
It just makes me so sad because, like, damn.
Dude, it was making me sad too. That's why I was spiraling last night.
I'm sorry. Sickness is a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, if it is an allegory for losing people to sickness, because it could be a lot of things.
Yeah.
But if it's that,
it's really sad. And
the deteriorating part, they got that really well. And the fact that, like, it was such a big deal and then it wasn't, mm-hmm. it's like you don't realize that there are still people affected by sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are illnesses that are untreatable, but because it doesn't affect you, you don't think about it.
I just feel like situations like these are so isolating, even though you're definitely not the only one who's going through it, but you feel like you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I think they got it down really well, especially because they were the only ones who were dealing with it at that point. I just thought it was so fucking sad how Jude really did not want to, like, let him go. It just makes me wonder how it would have been if it was the other way around. Like, would Lyle have been so adamant on...
Would Lyle have left?
Lyle would have been like, you know what? Danny's texting me. Later.
Danny Bridges!
Later, babe.
I can't believe that he followed through with shooting his own husband. I would not have been able to do that.
I don't
that.
Think I... No, my God, definitely not. I would have been like, I'm going with you.
Oh, my God. It's sad.
It's I'm laughing because while I was reading this, I asked my boyfriend, I was like, if I was a zombie, he was like, say no more. I would turn into a zombie with you. Say nothing else. Me too, girl. I'll be right there with you.
That's so funny.
That's kind of, I don't know. That's kind of how I feel. I do not want to be on the other end.
There was an episode of The Walking Dead. I'm sorry. I love that show.
And no, it's okay. I just wish I could. I could be like, yeah,
but
I know that episode.
Sometimes they would walk into homes because they would like need safe houses. Mm-hmm. So they would go on long journeys, see a house, and they were like, it looks okay. Let's go scope it out. And they scoped out the entire house, and it still had food. It still had all this. Oh, and wow. They go into the master bedroom, and they see both the husband and the wife, and like, if you look at the wife, there's blood going sideways. If you look at the husband, there's blood going up and he's holding a shotgun.
Ooh.
So it's like they had both chosen to die together instead of having to live through what was going on.
That's really sad. It makes me cry.
It is sad.
I'm going to think about Titanic and that fucking scene.
That door.
No, not that scene.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that door.
Oh my god, no, when the couple that stays inside. Sorry. Me? Oh my god.
Sorry. I'm talking about a door.
Not the fucking door.
Well, I mean, that was after me.
Poor Jack.
I know what you mean though. It's sad coming to that realization that there's nothing else you can do. I just had this talk with my friend like recently, because she recently read Serpent in the Wings of Night.
Mm.
And both her and I were talking about the second book a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, like, if someone were to do something as horrible as, like, Vincent did in that book, like, how do you go back and look at them fondly?
Right.
And it's just kind of like, at the end of the day, like, this person was who they were to you. Like, everything else kind of.
And it's harder, too, when they're no longer here.
Yeah.
You know?
Because what is that fight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no point in it anymore.
Yeah.
That being said, this book was sad. This book was sad, but I expected it to be sadder.
What did you want?
No, I just thought.
I wanted to cry on every page. I couldn't.
What I thought was going to happen was that they were both going to be sick and they would watch each other, like, lose themselves to the sickness. That's what I thought was going to happen.
I think it hurts more the fact that it's just one of them, though.
Maybe.
I think so. How did you feel about it, though? How did you feel about the book?
I feel like even though there was some issues that I had with it, overall, I still really enjoyed it. Because you know what else that I thought about? Sorry, I'm drunk, but I remember this, okay? Something else that I was thinking about that I was telling my friend, I was like, okay, is this book trying to get me to be like, okay, in a world where there's zombies, is cheating really like
the biggest
flaw here, right? So there was just so many questions that I had, but I did like that this book made me really think about, like, I guess the human experience. I'm not a huge fan of Lyle, but then again, like you said, people are flawed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they deserve the ending that he got. That's so fucking sad. And I just feel like this book surprisingly, like, it just, like, made me think a lot, you know? And yeah. It made me really sad. And it... mostly sad because I started to put myself in the positions of, like, the characters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was spiraling, because I was like, what the fuck would I would do? What would I do if I was in this situation?
You know what's funny?
Uh-huh.
Not even counting the zombie part, I imagined if I were someone who got cheated on and I told you about it, you would, like...
this person would be dead to me.
That's what I was, because, like, I knew you were gonna hate Lyle. I knew it from your comments.
Oh, I thought you were gonna hate him. I guess
I
not
don't
twin flames like I thought we were.
I don't like what he did, but I don't know, I, like you said, I don't think I'd ever be a person who would forgive someone for cheating on me. Me, so I can't.
But Jude did. So we just have to accept that Jude like forgave him pretty much.
I can't understand his thought process, but maybe I'm not gonna. So it is what it is at that point. But like you, I also got really, really sad.
Yeah.
I had to finish this in the parking lot.
Dude, I saw your video. And at first I was like, wait a minute. Is she crying about Bridgerton? No fucking way.
No, I post those on my private.
Well, I'm not invited, apparently.
No, but it really got to me because I can't with the person passing away having the final thoughts of everyone around them.
What do you mean?
Like he had consciousness enough to have his final words to Jude be like, move on.
Move on, it's chill.
And some people don't get that opportunity.
I think it's scarier when you don't, or when you're unable to say anything at all. Not trying to make a comment of the story, but you know, now that we're talking about like a heavy topic like that. But yeah, this book was really good. I did really like it. I was just really sad. And Lyle did upset me a couple times. But then, again, like I said, it doesn't mean that he deserved that ending. And I like that the book made me think a lot about, I guess, like, sad shit. I don't know. I don't want to get into specifics because I will cry.
Yeah.
I think I would give this book a 4 out of 5, and I would definitely recommend it. But I would say, trigger warning, cheating.
Is that the only trigger warning?
Yeah. That's literally it. No, I'm just kidding. Did this book have trigger warnings?
I don't remember. I just kind of went into it.
Yeah, me too.
I also gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah,
I really, really like this book, and I do see myself recommending it to people, but really big trigger warning.
Yeah, me too.
It hits grief really well, so I'm like, don't want to feel it.
Do I really want to put people through this?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, but very well written.
You know what's funny is because I normally don't read sad books like this.
I know you don't.
So, but it was good though.
I'm glad you liked it. I'm not going to put you through this again.
I do want to read. Okay, we'll talk about it later. But there's another one I really want to read, which I think will be really sad.
That being said, to everyone who is listening to us in podcast form, whether that be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or anywhere you get your podcasts on, thank you so much. If you can please leave a rating of 5 stars and recommend us a book and a review, that would be amazing. If you want to support us and you have a little bit of money, what can they do?
So we do have a Patreon, and at the moment it really just exists for our listeners to let us know that you really enjoy our content. I mean, we do post twice a week. That's a lot of reading. You can find us on patreon.com/bookfix. But if you don't want the commitment of monthly, you can find us on Ko-fi, which is ko-fi.com/thebookfix, or buymeacoffee.com/thebookfix.
If you want to support us on social media, if you are watching us on YouTube, thank you so much. If you can like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell, because we post every Tuesday and Thursday. We also have a lot of YouTube shorts that you can watch on there as well. If you want to support us on social media, we do have an Instagram and a Threads at the Book Fix Pod, TheBookFixPod. And we also have a TikTok and a Goodreads at the Book Fix, TheBookFix. So let's go ahead and read some reviews about this book. I will read, what do you want to read?
Whatever.
I will read.
Let me know.
I'll read the negative one. I think you need a little bit of positivity in your life right now.
Why? Why would you say that?
You seem a little down.
I'm just drunk. Ooh, I found one. This review comes from Jack. They gave it 5 out of 5, and they said, a devastating and emotionally resonant read. Told in a non-linear narrative style, We witnessed the highs and the lows, the beginning and the end of a romance between two men, interrupted by a zombie outbreak and ended by a fateful bite and a prolonged descent into heartbreak. You can read this novella in a single emotional sitting. The characters are human, distinct, and speak and behave in believable ways. The zombie apocalypse at hand is believable but subversive. Elegy for the Undead is an early contender for one of the best books I'll read this year.
Damn.
That was a good summary. Summary? Hello?
There wasn't.
That was a good review.
There wasn't that many people who wrote them for 1 out of 5s.
Okay.
But doesn't mean it didn't get 1 out of 5s. It did. But Jen, who gave it a 1 out of 5, wrote, I felt absolutely nothing reading this. The premise was intriguing, but the execution fell flat, and the writing was incredibly amateurish.
Thank you so much for listening or watching. We'll see you next time.
Bye. How much have we drank?
Dude, I've drank way more than you.
Yeah, you have.
And it's embarrassing. For me, not for you. Does it mean I have a problem? Oh my God.
I told you I wanted to get drunk.
Why am I the one that's drunk? How did this happen?
Well, it's because you're a person who can talk and drink.
Dude.
I can't do both.
My heart's been pounding though.
Why? What?
Because of the drinking. I don't know. I don't know the reasoning behind that. I was like, wait, where am I?
You're right here.
Thank you. Right here. Your heart.
Thank you.
I'm sad, dude. I'm really sad and I blame you.
I'm sorry.